Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's March 18th. 1967, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Aria, Rebecca, and Ali, the Retrospectors.
I can tell by the soles of my feet. This casual comment made by a man who was losing his sight to his friend the inventor Seiichi Miyake is said to have been the inspiration for tenji blocks, those small raised shapes you often find on the edge of train platforms or curbs, which were introduced in Okayama City today in history in 1967.
Yes, the first 230 blocks were laid on this day at the street crossing in front of the Okayama School for the Blind, a good place to put them. And it was a sort of proof of concept, I suppose, of this idea of basically Braille for your feet, which is kind of amazing because it's 140 years after Louis Braille invented the Braille reading system by the time we get to this day. But that is essentially what it is. People who are partially sighted can feel with their feet as well as with their hands, so why not use their feet to guide them to where is safe to be? It was probably the most significant innovation for blind people in those 140 years, save for perhaps the then radical idea of guide dogs being trained in the 1940s.
And Seiichi Miyake himself was not blind, and he wasn't an inventor as a full-time job. That was his amateur interest. He was a hotel manager. He was running a ryokan, a traditional-style Japanese inn. But he also, you know, he tinkered with things in his spare time, and in the mid-1960s, what he was actually trying to invent was something that would prevent snow from settling on number plates. I assume because in his capacity as hotel manager, he was interested in the guests' cars. But then he witnessed an incident which really shocked him and caused him to totally rethink his focus, which was he saw a blind man with a white cane trying to cross a busy thoroughfare that had no pedestrian crossing, and the cars were just speeding heedlessly around him as he wandered across the street. And he thought, we need to do something about this. This is, you know, post-war Japan starting to really come into its own. Cities were becoming very busy, very packed with vehicles. And he thought, how are we going to make this safer for the blind?
Well, obviously defrosting number plates so people can see which cars hit them.
Right.
You should have stuck with it.
And, well, luckily, as you mentioned up top, he had a friend, Hideyuki Iwahashi, who was losing his sight due to detached retinas. And actually, Hideyuki's father, Takeo, had the same condition, and he had founded Japan's first ever organization for the blind, the Nippon Lighthouse, in the 1920s. And so Miyake was able to use the Iwahashi's father and son as kind of a focus group to work out what would best help visually impaired people navigate Japan's increasingly busy urban streets. And Hideyuki, he said, he could feel different textures of ground under the soles of his shoes. And this made Miyake think of Braille, which the Japanese form of Braille is called tenji, hence the tenji block. So he started working with his younger brother, Saburo, to design a system of paving blocks using raised dots to aid visually impaired pedestrians.
Yeah, and despite its genius, its obvious immediate application, his idea originally wasn't picked up, and he had to invest his own money to donate tenji blocks to local government and then follow up to tout their usefulness. But in the first couple of years, he didn't receive any orders at all. The tide only started to turn in 1970 when the blocks were installed in roads and stations in big cities that had undergone urban development like Tokyo and Osaka. And the blocks then gradually began to spread nationwide. But Miyake himself was quite unwell by the time his idea really began rolling out. And he actually died in 1982 before managing to see his idea get rolled out worldwide the way it has been.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't until the 90s that I saw these in the UK. But he did get to see the first big implementation of his tenji blocks, which was in the Japanese railway, which goes to show that it's not just, I think sometimes people think it's sort of virtue signaling, you know, like, you know, if you're building a thing, then you have to show everyone that you're making accessible. The fact that it was a train company that saw the virtue of this immediately tells you the practical sense in it. I mean, that is a classic case, isn't it? where someone who's even partially sighted, so might be able to see well enough to get to the platform, might not see where the platform edge is, and that might be a life or death decision. And from that point of view, it's just such a great accomplishment in the history of accessibility, isn't it? Because it's not a significantly greater cost than laying the tiles on the train platform anyway. You're doing that anyway. You know, if you compare it to the cost of an elevator, which might cost £1 million extra to burrow out the hole so that you can do it, this is just some more expensive floor tiles, but it makes it a place that's suddenly safe for your customers.
Yeah, it's appealing to that commercial interest first, because, you know, in the example that inspired Miyake, seeing a blind man trying to cross the road, it could easily have been dismissed at the time of, well, he should have crossed more carefully, he should have asked somebody to help him, you know, that's nobody's fault, that's just something that's just happened. Whereas when you're talking about a rail station, of course the train company doesn't want to be associated with a story about, you know, this poor person who fell off the platform and was hit by a train. The negative publicity is one of the things that would inspire companies to be the, kind of the pioneers of adopting this technology rather than city planners. But by the time the Tenji blocks had become a feature of Japan's National Rail, you know, urban design was starting to incorporate tactile pavement into developments as well. Tokyo was the first city to adopt Tenji blocks as kind of a default feature of new developments in 1972, which represented a huge positive shift in accessible architecture, because it's much more effective if developments are being designed with inclusivity in mind from the start, rather than having to retrofit existing spaces with accessibility features that might not quite work. If you can start from the beginning knowing that this is where we're going to put them, this is how we're going to lay out the design, that's much more effective for the end user. But this period where Tenji blocks were suddenly being embraced and rapidly implemented did lead to one downside, which is that the designs weren't standardized, which meant that different cities or property developers could come up with their own variations, which of course was confusing and also potentially dangerous to blind travelers who might arrive in a new city to find a totally alien landscape underfoot. Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, trying to think of an analogy of what that would be like if you could see? That would be like suddenly getting to a town centre and they've decided to just put a staircase next to the road that doesn't go anywhere. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, you're feeling a particular thing and think, oh, I'm at the edge of the road, and actually you're not. You're walking down a hill. That must just be so confusing.
Yeah. I mean, the very small amount of, like, negativity associated with Tenji blocks is, I suppose, first of all, to do with the fact that there was this standardization required, and anyone who had implemented blocks that are now non-standard had to tear them up again. But also the idea that one of the big ways that you can improve a city for visually impaired people is to just fix pavements in the first place and make them better, and rather than just ripping up all the roads, if you're not doing a city where you're starting from scratch but you're actually trying to retrofit a whole city, that money would be better spent just making the roads more even and easier to navigate in that way. But I think, you know, if there's no sort of limitation of cost, everyone agrees that making a city more accessible for visually impaired people is a good thing, and that's why you started to see this happening all over the world. And Tenji blocks appearing in the US in the 1990s in response to the Americans with Disabilities Act. The UK, Australia and Canada have also embraced tactile pavements in their cities. It happened in Australia during the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, actually, there, where the city just had suddenly this enormous amount of cash to splash and was anticipating lots of visitors. It seems as though they've always been with us.
Yeah. It's like trying to imagine a road without cat's eyes, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
those
right.
were an invention too. There were roads without them for a while, and then they were just so obviously a good idea that they went everywhere. And actually, it's so universal now around the world that many Japanese people apparently don't realise that it was a Japanese invention. And yet there are proportionally many more Tenji blocks in Japan than in countries like the UK and the United States. Because looking online at some of the photos of Japan and the way they've really embraced this technology, it might seem normal to the people who live there, but tourists take photos and upload them online because it seems unusual to them, because they have them not just on high streets, not just at train platforms, but also inside buildings, like at shopping malls, guiding your way to the top of staircases.
All large buildings in Japan, like hospitals, schools, department stores, are required to include Tenji blocks around potential hazards, particularly like stairs and escalators, and also to guide users kind of along safe routes.
But it's funny to think that we're all kind of agreeing that this feels like an innate, natural thing to be on the pavement, and yet it was invented. But, you know, it's still the case that there are inventions now for partially sighted and visually impaired people that have yet to catch on and also seem kind of obvious. But the point is that it obviously just involves investment, doesn't it, for everyone to agree. And unless it's standardized, then it's actually, it doesn't make things more accessible. It can make things in the short term more confusing. Mm. I saw a startup called NaviLens. They embed like sort of like QR codes into the 10G blocks so that your smartphone syncs with it and your phone buzzes and vibrates to tell you which way to walk as you walk around. And of course, that doesn't just have to be into tactile blocks. That can be in museums and public spaces and everything. And it's an obvious kind of next step forward, isn't it? Most people have smartphones in their pocket, particularly visually impaired people who use them for a variety of supportive things. But until you have it everywhere, if you can't know that it's there, then you're just randomly pointing your phone at things that might not be there.
I can't believe we have this and we still haven't cracked stopping snow building up on number plates.
Tomorrow.
Some people say it looks like a cartoon, like something from Dr. Seuss. Some people say it looks like an underwater forest. That's a mad concept.
Ditch the ads and get a Sunday episode when you join Club Retrospectors. Patreon.com/retrospect.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.